Welcome to TEXA Talks, a series of podcasts where we chat with higher education experts and TEXA specialists about new initiatives, good practice, and other topics that matter to Australia's higher education sector.
Welcome to the second episode of this series of TEXA Talks. Today, we're chatting with Greg Simmons, Director of Policy and Analysis, and Dr. Irene Lichtwark, Senior Project Manager, about TEXA's recently released Good Practice Note, Preventing and Responding to Sexual Assault and Sexual Harassment in the Australian Higher Education Sector. Greg, can you please outline for us TEXA's approach to the prevention and response to sexual assault and sexual harassment in the Australian higher education sector?
So in response to the Change the Course report, Minister Birmingham at that time requested that all Australian higher education providers inform TEXA of their approach to addressing the issues raised in the report. And the provider responses covered areas such as preventative education, training, information policy and guidance, the investigation and reporting procedures in place, consequences of misconduct, provision of a safe environment and support for students who have been assaulted, harassed on campus, in student accommodation or travelling to and from campus. So TEXA worked through those responses, which constituted 168 registered providers. We also independently checked information on providers' websites, and we summarised our findings, publishing a report to the Minister for Education on those responses back in January 2019. TEXA's also committed to working with providers through the course of their usual registration and re-registration cycle to assist those providers in evaluating processes and arrangements that they have in place to mitigate sexual assault and sexual harassment on campus and also to deal with incidents of sexual assault and sexual harassment. So we do that by evaluating the arrangements in place at each provider in the context of their operations and provide them targeted guidance. We're committed to doing that with every registered Australian provider when they're due for a re-registration with the agency. So that work continues and will continue for some time, and TEXA remains committed to doing that work. TEXA's now, after a period of lengthy consultation with relevant experts and the sector, happy and proud to release a good practice note to the sector. And like all of our good practice notes, we hope that providers will see this as a valuable resource and use it to inform themselves of what other people in the sector are doing and use it to evaluate their own processes and put in place recognised good practice in this important area.
Thanks, Greg. You briefly mentioned the purpose of this good practice note then. I was wondering if you could outline for us in a little more detail TEXA's intentions around how the sector can make use of this resource.
So good practice notes are designed to offer practical advice and examples of good practice to guide the operations of providers in regard to specific higher education issues of importance. SASH, or sexual assault and sexual harassment, was one such area. And the good practice notes themselves are intended to support and promote quality assurance at providers. They are not compliance tools. They're there as a resource to the sector, and we hope that providers find them useful. And it is useful for us in our engagement with providers as a regulator to engage in a discussion with providers around their dealings and treatment of significant integrity or risk issues in the sector, to be able to use it as a frame of reference. The good practice notes themselves, and this one in particular, followed extensive consultation and input across the sector, and would like to take this opportunity to thank and acknowledge all of the students, experts, providers and staff, as well as other stakeholders who have made a contribution to this publication. We'll continue to work with providers to ensure the institutions have in place the appropriate SASH prevention and response policies through that engagement that I described earlier as part of a re-registration process, or synchronised with re-registration events. But the good practice note is ready to go. It's a resource that the sector has available to it now, and we hope that providers would actually take the time to look through it and take the elements that we've highlighted which make sense to them and their own operation, and put it into practice and get some value out of the resource.
Irene, you led the development of this new good practice note. Can you tell us a little more about some of the content within this resource and the approach you've taken to developing this?
So we attempted to create a document that was as comprehensive as you can make it for to give providers a document that can support them when they plan and create their strategies to prevent and respond to sexual assault and sexual harassment. So I'd like to quickly give an outline about how the document is sort of formatted and what the content is. So if you have it in front of you, if you look at it, there's a diagram on page 8, which shows that the good practice note or the themes of the good practice note are sort of, there's 3 of them. There's one about governance, there's one around prevention, and then there's one around responses. And we've divided the topics of the good practice note up into 9 what we call principles. And when you look at the diagram, you see that they're ordered in a circle, and there's one in the middle. And the one in the middle is about the well-being and safety of the students and staff who experience sexual assault and sexual harassment. It's a focus of the SESH prevention and response. And we wanted to make that really clear that that is a really, really important part, the integral part, that's the aim of the sexual assault and sexual harassment prevention and response at the providers, is the well-being and safety of those people that have these experiences. That's why it's in the middle. And then in the governance area, we've got the topic of leadership and governance. This is about making sure that the providers have a culture that ensures institution-wide actions and implementations and responses. The other one in the government's area, the other principle there, highlights the importance of policies and procedures. They should be comprehensive and implemented by well-trained staff. They are sort of the backbone of this. If you've got good policies and procedures and they're well-written, then that goes a long step, long way towards having good responses to sexual assault and sexual harassment. And then, of course, the staff needs to be trained to implement them well. Then in the prevention area, we've got a safe environment is provided for all. That includes the online environment, which in the moment with the pandemic and lots of learning going online is becoming more and more important. The next principle is about the comprehensive education and information materials are widely available and regularly updated. If we can, as a sector, address the drivers that still allow this sexual assault, sexual harassment behavior to happen in society and sadly also at higher education providers. If we can address those drivers, then again, we've gone a long way towards preventing this behavior from actually occurring. And then straddling the prevention and response areas is the training of staff and students so that they can confidently recognize and prevent sexual assault and sexual harassment, because staff and students are the ones that are probably there when it happens potentially, and they can see if they're trained to be active bystanders. That's one of the areas that we suggest training is important. And if they can see this behavior, they're aware of it, they can interfere. Again, they can potentially stop a lot of that sort of behavior from happening. The other areas that training is important is consent. So, you know, if you engage in sexual activities, do you have consent from your partner there for now? And under what circumstances can't people give their consent? And the third area is first responders, to make sure that when students or staff come forward and want to talk about their experience, that the staff that receives or the students that receive that information can do so in a non-judgmental and appropriate way and know where they can, what the options are for this reporting person and where they can get the support from. The next one in the response area is that support is accessible, timely and just for all parties involved. We want to make sure that everybody involved in this process has got the support that they need, that the support is done in a timely way, they don't have to wait too long. Then the last area of response is that instant reporting and options and responses to reports of SESH are fair, timely and effective. Really, really important issue. That's where a lot of complaints come from if that's not done well at the provider. And then the last principle, number 9, that goes back into the governance area. This is about ongoing innovation and evaluation and improvement of SESH prevention measures. Because if we don't know that what we're doing is actually effective, then we're wasting a huge amount of time. So ideally, when we design all of these measures, we build in an ability to evaluate the measure already as we go, and then, you know, also the willingness to be innovative and make changes if we need to. That's kind of the structure. And then within the good practice note, we've got 19 examples of good practice, which is not, and I need to highlight, this is not best practice. These were not the only examples or the best examples even of practice within the sector. This is not a judgment on the providers that whose good practice hasn't been included. This is, we chose the examples that we chose because they were the ones that clarified the topic that we were talking about when we put them where we put them, the best, in the best possible way. That's why they're there. There's also 13 what we call good ideas. They are simple and discrete examples of good practice, not necessarily at a particular provider. And the difference here really is that we couldn't create screenshots of them because they were not the sort of things you can screenshot. That's why they're good ideas rather than good practice examples. We're hoping to introduce some of those good practice examples in a little bit more detail in another podcast that hopefully we can do in a week or two, so people can get a bit more of an idea about the content of the good practice.
Thanks, Irene. Coming back to you for a moment, Greg, can you outline how the prevention of sexual assault and sexual harassment thematically aligns with provider obligations under the Higher Education Standards Framework?
There are a number of standards that are relevant to this particular topic, be it through, you know, establishing a culture and a set of behaviours and an operating environment that is designed to minimise the incidence of sexual assault and sexual harassment, through to how a provider might deal with incidents when they present themselves and try to minimise the harms that are experienced by people who find themselves caught up in these sorts of incidents. But the standards themselves are quite general, so that there's no standard that talks to sexual assault and sexual harassment explicitly, but you can use the issue of sexual assault and sexual harassment, which is albeit very complex, to test how the general standards around wellbeing and safety are put into practice, for example. So there are a range of standards in the Higher Education Standards Framework that you can look at using sexual assault and sexual harassment as a lens to test whether you're meeting those more general standards. Now, the standards themselves are not prescriptive. We recognise that there are a variety of ways that providers can meet the standards and will need to, and providers will need to use different approaches because their operating context is fundamentally different and the sector itself is so diverse. Part of our approach to developing the good practice note and all of our good practice notes is to reflect that diversity in some of the practices that we highlight in those notes. But getting back to the standards themselves, wellbeing and safety, so standards 2.31 through to 2.34 are all applicable to this particular note and to this particular area. So the standards really talk to the kind of education and awareness practices of providers and establishing a safe environment, a safe operating culture. The standards relevant to handling student grievances and complaints. So we appreciate that students who or staff for that matter who experience this type of assault or harassment would utilise a grievance or complaint mechanism, and the specific arrangements you need to have in place to deal with these sorts of acute issues are something that the good practice note might be helpful in doing. So those grievance and complaint standards 2.4.1 all the way down to 2.4.5 are all relevant here. There's obviously standards around governance and accountability. So to ensure that there is appropriate management oversight of the work that goes on in this particular area, and there's transparent reporting is fundamentally important. And we think it, you know, kind of reflects directly on those governance and oversight standards. So 6.1.4 would be an example of that. 6.2.1 has particular elements that are relevant to this particular area. And then finally, around the information that's provided to students. So standard 7.2.1 and 7.2.2 also have some relevant in this particular area as well.
Thanks, Greg. Irene, coming back to you for a moment, given the amount of work that has gone into this document, how are you hoping providers will be able to apply it?
We're hoping that providers use the SASH Good Practice Note as a guiding document, as I said, when they're in the process of reviewing or creating their strategies to prevent and respond to sexual assault and sexual harassment. We like it to stimulate thoughts when they're reviewing their own practice. We are fully aware that there's lots and lots of different ways and lots of different contexts in which providers use this Good Practice Note and can develop their strategies. And so we just want to stimulate thinking about how they can do this and how it best fits into their context. It is meant to be a resource for ideas. We've got a lot of appendices to it, where there's different training organisations, different education, different sources of support are there as well, where providers can go and take those. Just a word of warning, if anybody takes any of those resources, to please check that they're still current and the contact phone numbers are still valid as when they do that. And they need to be updated. Obviously, this document is a point in time document as well when it comes to things like that. We would like to encourage the providers to talk to each other about how they're approaching this topic. We've provided in the good practice note, in the examples, we're telling them which provider these examples are coming from. It would be wonderful if providers could then contact that particular provider and talk about, you know, what led you to have this particular measure the way you've done it, what worked really well, what doesn't work so well, and sort of start a communication there, and maybe even a bit of a community of practice would be wonderful. There is a bit of a challenge for those providers that have finished most of those sort of measures, have them already in place. For them, the challenge is to think about the next step. So I don't think the prevention and response to sexual assault, sex harassment is ever going to be finished and done. We can put these measures in place. And once you worked your entire way through the good practice note and done all the things that suit your particular provider sort of context, then there's always the challenge to think about the next step. So ideally, I'd love to write another good practice note. And I don't know, 5 or 10 years, that's a real step up from what we're doing in the moment so that we can keep the conversation going. I'd like to encourage providers to talk to us, to ask us questions. We're here to help them in this quest to make sure our students are safe and well and sexual assault and sexual harassment are prevented as much as possible. And if it does happen, they can respond in the best possible way so everybody can get back on track as fast as possible.
You mentioned then TEXA is wanting to hear from the sector if they're seeking some advice or support in relation to SASH matters. What's the best way for providers to get in contact with the agency?
So the best way of contacting us is under our email address, studentwellbeing@texa.gov.au. Or if you had contact with me before, you can give me a call as well. That's fine. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. Sometimes it's so much easier to just ask somebody. And also, if you've got something really, really good that's going on and you really want to tell us about it, then feel free to drop us an email or call and tell us all about it. We're really keen to hear the good stuff as well.
I might just add to that. We're more than happy to hear from providers if there are particular topics in this area that they'd like to hear from us on. We'll be providing further information through our podcasts and highlighting good practice. But there's a particular element of the good practice note that people are interested in hearing more about. More than happy to receive that feedback.
Thank you, Irene and Greg, for taking the time to speak with us today. You can download the Good Practice Note, Preventing and Responding to Sexual Assault and Sexual Harassment in the Australian Higher Education Sector, at the TEXA website. That's texa.gov.au/publications. You can also find Good Practice resources on a range of other topics on the publications page.
This podcast was produced by the Tertiary Education Quality and Standards Agency, Australia's independent national quality assurance and regulatory agency for higher education. You can find more podcasts in this TEXA Talk series at texa.gov.au.